Hey, everybody, it's Jack here alongside Baby Lewis. We didn't have an episode last week because I'm trying to move across the country with two cats and two very small boys, and that is surprisingly logistically challenging. More interestingly, Tanner and I are cooking up some exciting new projects that we are not quite ready to announce yet, but I think everybody's going to be pretty psyched about them once we are ready to launch, so more on that later. In the meantime, this week we're going to be pulling one of our very favorite episodes ever from the archives. It's that time we engage the services of... It's that time we engage the services of a world-class Dungeons & Dragons Dungeon Master to help us play the 1992 Milton Bradley Babysitter's Club mystery board game, and I hope that you enjoy re-listening or experiencing it for the first time. We'll be back to our regular schedule next week, starting with some steamy and sizzling hot takes about 3,000 Years of Longing, starring Idris Elba and Tilda Swinton. But in the meantime, please enjoy this wholesome D&D-themed Babysitter's Club content.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time.
Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
It's a podcast.
Club.
It's a podcast with me, Jack Shepherd.
And with me, Tanner Greenring.
And we have a guest.
Yes. Hi.
And it's Dan Shannon. Hello, Dan. Welcome.
Hello, friends. How are you?
We needed to bring a guest in today because we're doing, we realize that there is a, like, as completists, that there's a piece of Babysitter's Club media that we have never properly tackled. But in order to tackle it, we needed an expert.
One final piece, it feels like.
It feels like one final piece of the puzzle here. And it, I think if we do it right, it's going to provide the answers to all the many burning questions that we've had for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So what we're going to be talking about today is the Babysitter's Club mystery. Tanner, you want to say it kind of mysterious, and we'll try to take another run at that. The Babysitter's Club mystery game.
Yeah.
Game.
By Milton Bradley. And so we brought in Dan because...
Should I explain?
Yeah. Can you do it?
Yeah. Dan is someone we met a few years ago. And then I asked him if he would be the DM at my bachelor party back in 2015, and he agreed to.
DM is short for Dungeon Master.
Yeah,
it's a host D&D of a Dungeons and Dragons role-playing game experience for the uninitiated.
And then Jack was still in New York at that time, so he was part of the group, but then obviously Jack left. But Dan and I have maintained a relationship where we are both friends, and he remains the DM of our Dungeons and Dragons group to this day, even though we haven't played during the pandemic at all because...
Welcome, Dan. Why don't you tell the listeners how we met you?
Jack and I have been friends for a long time, like 15 years or something like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And also everything Tanner said was also true. And I want it noted for the record that I DM groups that both of you are in independently.
Yes.
Separate.
At the moment.
That's
so
true.
We have multiple...
Well, that's sort of true because you don't DM our group anymore, and you still do DM Jack's group.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. So, in case you were wondering which of you was my favorite friend, now
the one the one you've been friends with for much of your adult life,
most of, in fact.
Yeah.
So we wanted to bring in a professional to help us to kind of walk us through this game and to act as a guide through this experience.
It's a role playing game. I've read the rules. You play a role. It's a collaborative storytelling game. So we thought, you know, who better to invite to sort of lead the gameplay than our own DM? Dan, what do we call you? Dan M? No, Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Master. That's perfect.
I'm pumped. I've never run this system before. I've heard about it. You know, the module seems pretty cool. The rules are a little janky, but I think we're gonna be okay. We'll figure it out.
The D&D rule book is pretty dense and big and thick.
Yeah. This
rule
I think
is very brief.
little to be desired. Yeah. But, you know, it's more narrative focused, I think, than rules focused, which I like in a game.
Yeah.
I like the magic.
There's
system.
A lot of room to kind of spread your wings and explore the characters. So it's called the Babysitter's Club Mystery Game. Yep. And it says, I'm looking at the cover here, create your own mystery story as you uncover the clues. We've got all of the babysitters except Abby, I think.
It's the Babysitter's Club Mystery Game by Milton Bradley, who I guess is like the Gary Gygax of this system.
Yeah, that's right.
Legendary game designer Milton Bradley.
Yeah. And they're all, so the picture on the cover here, I guess this is, looks like a Hodges Swallow drawing. And someone has been murdered, and the girls are kind of laughing it up. Marianne is holding the yellow pages.
Yeah.
For some reason. And
that's
just
where
like,
you start. Anytime you're trying to solve a murder.
Yeah. You go to your local phone booth. You get all of your best friends. Grab a map.
Yeah.
And a flashlight. And then just kind of go through the yellow pages.
And look
pages.
How much fun they're having. They're all laughing.
They're having a blast. And they're right at the border of this town of Stony Brook. I'm just saying this because some of this might come into play. I don't know. I haven't really looked at this game yet. We're just cracking it out open. Shall we... do we want to just like cut right into it? Dan, this is the fastest Tanner and I have ever gotten to content.
Well, we can...
So good. I'm like...
We can keep chit-chatting like, if we want.
I like to bring the best out of people. You know, it's really part of what the role is as Dungeon Master.
yeah.
Dan, how long have you been playing D&D?
32 or 33 years.
Wow,
something along those lines. Yeah.
Wow.
Most of your life.
Most of my life.
Let's do it. Let's crack this open. Let's start this mysterious Babysitter's Club adventure.
How do we start? Right. Do you want to do some like world building?
Yeah. Well, you know,
build this world for us.
So just to tell you what I have planned. So we're going to use the core rules for the module. I've got a little bit of homebrew lore and a couple of homebrew encounters that I've kind of worked in. So I'll kind of sprinkle those in. It'll probably be clear what's module and what isn't.
Any homebrew races offer on limits?
Well, that's what I was going to start with, is that I think we should start with character creation, right?
Okay.
So the module comes with four pre-generated characters. The names are Christy Thomas, Marianne Spire, Claudia Kishi, and Stacy McGill. So I thought each of you guys could choose one of the pre-generated characters. The names are important because they relate to the story. And then you guys can choose for your character a character class and an alignment that you think fits with the character.
Okay.
So Jack, Tanner, when do you guys want to go first?
Well, what there are actually seven characters, but which four did you hone in on again?
Christy Thomas, Marianne Spire. Spear. Claudia Kishi and Stacy McGill.
Okay.
I would say Spear.
I know who I'm going to go with.
Okay.
But I don't want a conflict with you. I want our characters and classes to be complementary, Jack.
Well, we know who we're not going to go with.
No,
neither of us are going to be, and it's actually Stacy
McGill.
I see.
Marianne Spear and Stacy McGill.
Got it. Yeah,
but that's you know
these fantasy names. You know, it's just it's like hard to parse them sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just like, come on, Saruman. Like, what are we talking about?
Kvothe. You expect me to say Kvothe?
Okay. So Tanner's going to be Christy.
I'm going to be Christy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to be Claudia.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's the thing. It's like you told me this once. Your approach to role-playing games like this is you don't like to play characters who are too close to yourself. So you don't like to play like snooty intellectuals.
Yes.
You like to go with like dumb barbarians and stuff like that, right?
And I learned that the hard way. By playing a snooty intellectual in a couple of campaigns and just like it being... Just like not role playing at all.
Just more real life, not what we're looking
for. Yeah, just more, you know, and that's what we're trying to escape here.
That's right.
So I'm going to be Claudia Kishi, a vice president, because I got a phone in my room.
Yeah. And I'm Christy Thomas Brewer, and I am the leader.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I'm sporty.
Well, that'll come out in the gameplay, I think, Tanner, in terms of who the leader is. But I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
All right, character classes. What are we thinking?
Okay.
What are we talking, 5e?
Yeah, 5e, kind of standard D&D. I mean, I'm open to something off book if you have something particular in mind.
Paladin.
Interesting choice. Why Paladin?
Strong leadership abilities, kind of that chivalrous vibe. Christy Thomas in the books canonically is good at turning undead, like turning them away. So I think it makes sense. Can I choose my race too?
Sure. Let's
human.
Do it.
I want to stay
human paladin.
An inspired choice. Character.
Yeah.
Well, so are we going to, does that lock me in, Dan? Does Claudia have to be kind of a fighter since we've got a,
it's up to you. I mean, paladin and
a magic
and fighter
person
are technically both martial classes. So you could think about, so you could do that. You could kind of go in more of a caster direction. Rogue is always handy.
Do you know much about the Babysitter's Club?
Me?
Dan, I know you do.
I've watched the show with my daughter. Okay.
So
and
we know them. We're pretty close.
I know the characters. Yeah.
Okay.
Claudia is sort of like a artist. She's like a creative. Is there a D&D class that
maybe a bard? Bard would be good.
I like bard. I've never been a bard before. I'm going to be a bard, and then I could do some like cool like
barf.
Music magic.
Yep.
Don't say barf. We're working together. It's collaborative, right?
No, it's
collaborative.
Competitive.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be a bard. Yeah, that's actually perfect for Claudia. And then what's my race? You're a human?
Yeah.
I want to be something. Can I be like a dark elf?
Yeah.
From the Underdeep?
I feel like that's too obvious.
They're also mean. I think they're mean.
Yeah, Claudia's not mean. Maybe a dwarf.
Yeah.
Oh, dwarf is good.
I'm going to be a bardic dwarf.
All right. So we have Christy, our human paladin, played by Tanner, mm-hmm. and we have
Leader.
Claudia, our dwarfish bard, played by Jack. This is a good party. I like how this is shaping up already. All right. So the module comes with some introductory text to kind of set the tone. So I'm going to go ahead and read that now.
Excellent.
Read?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell us.
Explore.
Tell us the tale of Stony Brook. Oh, great Dungeon Master.
This meeting of the Babysitter's Club will officially come to order, I announced.
Goosebumps.
I sat down in the director's chair in Claudia Kishi's bedroom where, as usual, we were holding our Babysitter's Club meeting. Something crunched underneath me. Hey, I cried. I jumped back up. Oops, said Claudia, scooping a package of chocolate chip cookies off the chair. I wondered where I'd put those. Would you like some cookies, Christy? Dawn Schaefer began to crunch a pretzel nervously. Stacy McGill stared hard at the toe of her shoe. Marianne Spear looked extra solemn. Mallory Pike took her glasses off and began to polish them. Jesse Ramsey's mouth started to twitch. Claudia started laughing. As president of the Babysitter's Club, I was responsible for upholding our dignity, right? Wrong. I couldn't help it. I started laughing, too. That did it. We all burst out laughing. We were still laughing when the phone rang. Shh, I said. I forced myself to speak calmly into the phone. Babysitter's Club. I listened for a moment, then said, it sounds great, Mrs. Radowski. I'll call you back in a few minutes. I hung up the phone. Mrs. Radowski is planning a surprise party for Jackie, I reported. Tuesday after school. She needs two sitters. Marianne flipped open the appointment book and ran her finger down the page. We're all free that day. A surprise party for Jackie Radowski, said Claudia. That's great. Of course, Jackie is always full of surprises. True, said Claudia. Jackie isn't the only one who's been, well, a challenge to the Babysitter's Club. Remember the practical joker? Claudia made a little face. We nodded
joker?
Sympathetically. One of Betsy's jokes had caused Claudia to break her leg. Don't forget the snobs, said Stacy. They were pretty amazing. So, I said, who's going to help out at the party for Jackie on Tuesday? We all looked at each other. Then we all began to smile. I picked up the phone and dialed Mrs. Radowski. Mrs. Radowski, this is Christy Thomas. I'm calling back to tell you which members of the Babysitter's Club will be handling Jackie's surprise party. I hope it's okay if we all do it. Yes, of course. Great. We can hardly wait.
Something.
Jack,
just...
are you okay? Do you want me to call the police?
Oh,
Jack, are you okay?
God,
it's or like, I guess like sheriff. You're in like Texas, right?
It's just like incredibly hot and incredibly cold all at the same time.
Yeah, are you okay?
Like, it's both like the most intense pain I've ever had, but also weirdly pleasurable.
Yeah, you're hard as a rock. I can tell from here. Are you okay?
No, I don't think so.
I'm gonna text Sarah.
Oh, actually, no, it's passing.
Okay. God, what was that?
I think I was having a Thack attack.
Jesus, a Thack attack. It's been so long. Yeah. I almost didn't recognize the symptoms.
Yeah. Nola Thacker must have written that one.
Yeah. I thought it was from right out of Dan's imagination, and he made it, he brought it to life in such a way.
I wish I had homebrewed it. I mean, like I said, I added some of my own flavor to the module, this is the core intro. I like the lore though; it's good. Jackie's a good character.
It really sets a scene.
Yeah, it really kind of sets the emotional stakes for the story. I feel,
and it's set up so Jack, you're not as practiced in role playing games as I am, but
okay.
What Dan was doing there, he was setting up the BBEG.
Okay.
Jackie Radowsking, this walking disaster.
Okay. And so that's like a sub game?
Foreshadowing. No. It's okay. The main game. It's like Tiamat.
Okay.
Remember that time we fought Tiamat?
Yes, I do remember
Jackie
that.
Jackie Radowsky is Tiamat.
Okay. I got you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to get into it. We've got a game board. We've got two six-sided die.
Yeah. Mine are
two D6s.
Thank you, Jack.
Mine are greasy.
Sorry.
In a way that's pretty disconcerting.
Mine are greasy, and my Babysitter's Club mystery game by Milton Bradley that I ordered off the internet did have trash in it.
Yeah. What kind of trash?
It was just like a crumpled up piece of foil. I am in love with my game. It is well loved. Somebody has played this game like the way that it was intended to be played.
You could frame this.
And like, it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful game. They put way more effort than you would expect them to put into this cash grab.
It really?
For the like success of the mysteries.
It really is like surprisingly well produced and well out. Like there's a lot of like all the pieces have these moving parts. It's really something.
It's beautiful.
I'm excited.
It's very tactile.
All right, let's get into it. So gentlemen, step is to set what the mystery actually is. So if you will consult with your mystery case
your fucking job,
choice cards, it's an interactive game, Tanner. It's like we're gonna, you know, we build the story together.
We're working together.
How much D&D have we played together?
Have you ever heard of a collaborative storytelling?
Exactly.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So we have four questions that we need to answer. Who did it? What was involved? Why it happened? And where it happened. And what we're going to do is choose the core attributes for each of those four questions. And then as we play the game, we're going to build off that and kind of figure out exactly who it was that did it, exactly what was involved, et cetera. Right. So, so our first question is we have to choose from this list that you have in front of you, who did it?
And what is it? It's a murder.
Yeah. It doesn't determine what it is.
A crime of passion.
I have just assumed it's a murder. I mean, like, why would you go through all this trouble for like a wallet theft? I feel like, you know,
let's be safe. Let's assume it's a series of murders.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the ones I'm immediately attracted to on the who did it list.
Okay. So we've got this card here that comes with the game that gives us options in all those categories.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it was it's gotta be a ghost, right?
Either
Tanner?
A ghost or a dancer. Those are the two that really hopped out.
Can we say ghost dancer,
yes.
Dan?
I'll allow it. It's against
that's
the rules,
homebrew.
But we're going to homebrew it. I mean, the point of the game is to have fun, right? So we're going to say
it's a ghost dancer.
We're going to say it's a ghost dancer. So I'm going to write in my wax crayon, ghost.
Oh, yeah. Human. I should write that too.
Dancer.
All right, we ghost dancer.
So can I ask you this? Because someone has filled out my one, and I don't know if this is the correct answer or just what they said. They said it's Christy who's solving it. A janitor did it. Money was involved. Why it happened was adventure, and where it happened was cemetery. Is that accurate?
No, because we already know who did it was ghost dancer.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. So I'm going to ignore her advice here. I'm going to write ghost dancer. Is it sacrilegious to erase this person's like
15-year-old, like probably 20.
This game came out in 92. 30-year-old. I guarantee it's the last time someone played it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't want somebody to erase their game board, they shouldn't have sold it on eBay or wherever you bought it. You know what I mean?
They thought they were selling it to a museum.
Right.
I'm going to just write Ghost Dancer.
Ghost Dancer it is. All right, next. What was involved? Bunch of good choices here.
Okay.
I like sports car. I like computer.
I like computer. Can we say computer sports car? Could we do like Kit from Knight Rider?
Let's do it. I'll allow it.
Computer sports car.
I think computer sports car has got to be what it was. And that's obviously to anyone who knows what that is Kit.
All right. So we've got Ghost Dancer and computer sports car. Now we have to determine why it happened.
Why did it happen?
This is where it gets good. This is where it gets good.
Okay.
We're talking about greed, revenge.
This is really getting to the motivation of this person. So we've determined that it's a serial killer, right?
Series of hit and runs is what it sounds like, you know?
Well, and the Ghost Dancer, I guess, like is a, like a technogeist, right? And maybe
it could be a ghost in the machine.
Computer sports car,
that
right?
Possesses the computer sports car.
And I think if it were a confused Ghost Dancer hacking into a computer
curiosity
or misunderstanding both hop out at me.
I'm not sure that we can combine those, which is my instinct. What about curiosity and temptation?
Ooh, I like it.
That's the emotional state that I live most of my life in.
Curious temptation.
It's kind of just like a uncomfortable combination of those two things. Curiosity and temptation.
I don't know about you guys, but my wax crayon is having trouble.
Yeah.
Let's just say curiosity for this one.
No, I'm putting curious temptation.
Okay. I'm just going to write CT.
That'll now forever be shorthand.
Yeah.
Jack's just feeling a little CT right now.
I'm feeling a little CT.
Yeah. Should I eat that weird looking dessert? Feeling a little bit of all right. Last but not least, where it happens.
Okay. So where would a car that's possessed by a ghost in the machine that's both curious and titillated go to do its serial murders? I think a hayride is almost certainly right.
Hayride does sound right. We could say field trip and just specify where the field trip is. I would think the sex museum in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah. Dan, it's a field trip to the sex museum in Midtown.
Yeah, that works. I mean, because field trip is canon here, and then the sex museum is just kind of the flavor that we're adding on it. So,
yeah.
And it's not that far from Stony Brook. We don't know exactly where Stony Brook is in the real world, and works really hard to try to hide that from us.
Right.
But we know
where the sex museum is.
It's not that long of a drive from the sex museum. Yeah. She has stated that.
I've never been inside because... you know, we are sex positive on the show, but I am
sex afraid in real life. Yeah.
Tanner, are you an incel?
By the grace of God, no.
By the grace of God, no.
You do have a child.
Yeah.
But it was real touch and go, I think, for a little while.
That's fair. All right, boys, I think we have it. So we are attempting to solve the mystery of the Ghost Dancer that used the computer sports car to pursue its curious temptation at the field trip to the Museum of Sex. And I do believe it's the Museum of Sex and not the Sex Museum.
It the Sex Museum.
Yeah.
Tanner, what would you say? And then we'll just kind of have a vote, I guess.
Sex Museum, I think, sounds
I think it's Sex Museum.
Museum of Sex?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It's like saying Museum of Art. What?
Which is what they're all called. What do you guys owe me when I'm proven to be right later?
I'll take you know what I'll do, Dan? I'll take you to the sex museum.
All right, great. Excellent. I love it.
My treat.
We win I win either way, you know?
Yeah.
All right, good. So now each of you guys is so that's what we all know. That's like kind of like what's been publicly reported, you know, Stony Brook Gazette. But now you guys each are in possession of certain secrets, right? So you guys each get to choose two of these categories: who did it, what was involved, why it happened, and where it happened. And then each of you for two of those categories will be in possession of your own information that the other player has to try to discover. So who wants to be in charge of who did it?
Well, I think in the interest of fairness, we should probably just choose at random.
Yeah. Okay, fine. How do you want to do that?
Just pull one of the cards out and tell me what you got.
Who did it?
Okay, ready? I got who did it too. Here we go. Number two.
Pull another one.
What was involved?
All right. So I got Jack for who did it, Tanner for what was involved.
Jack. And then I've got where it happened.
Where it happened.
Which means I've got why it happened.
Okay. All right. So I think we're going to have to do something where one of you guys mutes yourself or otherwise ducks out of the conversation for a minute so that...
I have to go pee, so I'm going to pop off my headphones and I'll...
Perfect.
I'll be the one who doesn't hear what's about to happen.
All right.
Okay, then can I go pee when you're doing your thing?
Yeah. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. So for listeners, what we've got is these like pretty neat little like spinny cards that kind of spin around a number of different adjectives that describe the who, and in my case, the who and the where, and in Tanner's case, the what and the why. And so I'm going to be the only person, along with Dan, who is in possession of these adjectives. And the adjectives, I guess I mean the bard dwarf Claudia Kishi is the only person who knows that where it happened. It was, I think, I want to do smelling. Oh, no, I can do only revolting and dark, messy, smelly. Oh, smelly and revolting.
Smelly and revolting. So is you're saying where it that happened. Tanner did it.
Yeah, nailed it.
Good, good.
And we can say that because he's not here.
That's right. I'll tell him when he's back.
Please don't. I'd be very scared. And then, so now I'm going to pick. So this is the secret that Claudia has.
Right. So what?
She knows that it's smelly and revolting.
She knows that it was smelly and revolting field trip to the sex museum.
Yeah, to the sex museum.
Good.
And then, so I'm going to pick from, the adjectives for who did it are weird, obnoxious, nervous, dreamy, sloppy, lonely, mischievous, clumsy, new, pushy, and brave. And so who do we say did it? It's like a kind of a lawnmower man type of character is who I'm imagining.
Yeah, ghost.
Who's kind of
ghost,
found
yeah.
themselves inside Knight Rider's car. So what do you think? Weird is maybe right.
I mean, weird is kind of implied through the Ghost Dancer computer car. You know, that is sort of.
So maybe we don't need. Tanner, what are you doing? Get out of here. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Are you
literally putting your headphones back on?
Done?
We're not done. You're trying to hear my who did it. Just stay there. I'll signal to you. He can't. Now we don't. Won't be able to signal to him. I think lonely I want.
Lonely's good. It speaks to motive.
Yeah, I want lonely. That's why. And I want. I kind of like new.
Yeah.
It's like something new in the world. So let me see.
He's a new ghost or man. I don't know if it's a he.
It's a new ghost. And it's also just like the world has changed, right?
Yeah.
Like something is different now because this entity is in the world. And so there's a newness to it. So I've got new and lonely for my who did it. Now I'm going to go use the restroom and you can see if you can get Tanner's attention. Good luck.
All right. Tanner, this isn't working.
Hello.
Tanner, come back. All right, you're back. Good.
You know, you said at the intro that you and Jack have known each other for 15 years, but that can't be true because I think you and I have probably known each other for close to 10 years.
I've lived in New York for 10 years, and then I knew, and I think I met you before then. Yeah, and I knew Jack for at least five years before that.
Well, good. So you and I are as close as you and Jack.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, we all love each other equally. All right. Tanner, you're going to choose two adjectives to describe the computer sports car that was involved on your little dial.
Okay. Expensive, right?
That sounds right to me. It is a sports car.
And what is he? Computer sports car. That is expensive. None of these other ones quite fit the bill.
I mean, it's certainly unusual to think about a computer sports car being possessed by a ghost dancer.
That was the entire premise of Knight Rider. Okay, fine. Unusual and expensive.
All right, good.
And then, does that sound right to you? Guide me.
Yeah. I'm into it. DM. I think it sounds right.
And what do I do now? I flip the little thing.
Yeah, you kind of line it
wheel.
Up. Yeah, you line it up so that the two adjectives you chose are lined up at the top. And then you're going to do why it happened.
The why it happened.
Can I put my headphones back
no.
on?
No.
No.
Go away.
No, okay. Curious, I'm going to stand back.
Go away.
Curious temptation, love, and excitement.
All right. Curious Temptation of Love. I mean, it is at the Museum of Sex. Love and what was the other one you said?
Excitement. And I what I'm translating that to is like horniness.
Yeah. Love, excitement. I mean, that it kind of says it right on the box. Okay, good. We have all of our adjectives. All right, Jack, you can return.
Here's what we determined when you were gone, Jack.
No, don't tell him.
Dan and I have known each other for probably close to 10 years, so.
Okay,
which is not that big a deal.
It's nothing compared to how long Dan and I have known each other.
Yeah.
But it is a long time. So what does that say?
The question, Tanner, is how many times you and I have played squash together is the real question.
Oh, yeah. Dan and I played squash together weekly, like cool professional like bros
I know.
For a while.
That is cool.
That's so cool. It's so much cooler than anything that you two of you have done together. Like before work.
Oh, we used to go in the morning. That was stupid that we did that.
Like, hey, want to meet up at the courts before work?
Dan and I have played X-Wing miniatures together.
That's true. Okay. That's not before work though. Cool. We should do that sometime though. Okay.
I think we should take a quick break and then come back and play this game.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Okay, and we're back. Dan, do you want to kind of briefly explain to the listeners what we've done in the hiatus here?
Yes, we have. So we have placed a series of babysitting job tokens across the map, various houses throughout Stony Brook where there are babysitting jobs to pick up. Each of the players has their own, has four of their own jobs that they're going to go try to do. And then each of the players is located at their own home. So Christy is at Christy's home and Claudia is at Claudia's home, and their pawns are at those spaces on the board.
We should mention, because I know there are some purists out there who will say, well, actually,
actually, there's no way that Christy's house could be.
It does say in the official rules that they've needed to alter the map in such a way to bring Christy into this snapshot of Stony Brook.
Yeah.
So they retconned it.
So to the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah. And so the goal of the game here is we're going to try to do, we have to do all of our babysitting jobs, and we also have to get enough answers from the other person to know who did this kind of serial killing spree at the sex museum.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You can complete your babysitting jobs, and then you can make phone calls from the homes to call the other player. If they are also situated in front of a phone at a home, you can ask them questions. And you can earn your money by completing your babysitting jobs, which you can use during babysitter club meetings to ask questions as well.
Can I have inspiration for doing such a good job of explaining the rules?
Yeah, me
you can
too.
Jack, you can have double inspiration.
Okay. Watch out, buddy, Tanner. Okay, let's get started here.
All right. So first of all, we're going to roll for initiative to determine turn order. So I want each of you guys to roll 2d6 and add your dexterity score, your character's dexterity score to the 2d6.
Okay. Do we know our dexterity just from a standard?
It's whatever you think it is based on your character. We'll do it's either a +1, a +2, or a +3.
Paladin is okay. Not very dexterous.
Okay, so I've got a 7, and then I'm a
bard.
A bard. So I'm pretty dexterous. It's a +2.
All right, so we've got a 9.
Yeah.
I've got a 10. I'm going to say +0 because I've got all the armor on.
All right. Okay. So Tanner, a.k.a. Christy the Human Paladin, is going to go first. Mm. So Tanner, you're going to roll your dice to determine how many spaces across the board you can move.
Okay, here we go. I got a 2 and a BSC.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so this is huge.
Getting right into it right off the bat.
So when we get a BSC, something interesting happens.
Indeed it does. When you get a BSC...
you can call a meeting.
That's right. Yeah, you may call a babysitter's club meeting if you have at least one money card.
Do I start with money?
You do not.
Okay, so I can't even do it then.
Yeah, exactly. You need money. You need to earn money doing babysitting jobs before you can call a meeting. So now you must move your pawn by the number rolled on the other die.
Okay, I'm going north.
Okay.
So I'm sort of on the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
Just south of the public library.
All right, very good.
Okay.
All right, Jack, Claudia, the dwarfish bard, you're up.
Okay.
Love the way you say Claudia. It makes her sound like a cloud dancer.
I have a colleague who's from Colombia whose name is Claudia. That's how she pronounces it. So it's like ingrained in my brain now.
Well, and it works because Anne originally created Claudia as a cloud AI.
Yeah.
She's actually like she's an artificial intelligence created by her sister that exists in the cloud. And so you're not wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't catch that until like book like 80.
Which is where we about caught it.
Yeah. So I've rolled a 5, and you know what that's going to do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's going to put me right into the Braddock's house where it's like an infestation is happening.
Yeah.
In the Braddock's house. It's nasty in here. Both me and Christy have babysitting jobs, and I think I'm just snaking one out.
Oh, and I'm late, here. Aren't I?
Yeah. There are two families worth of kids. Not only are the Braddock's kids there, but their neighbors, the
DeWitts,
Bartlett?
The DeWitts,
the DeWitts, yeah,
Barrett family. Yeah.
The Barrett children are there as well. So this is a double. This is it's really. Yeah. I think this one is really going to test Claudia's babysitting skills, Jack. So I want you to give me a roll. And add what you think your babysitting. Again, everything's 1, 2, or 3. Add what you think your babysitting skill roll is going to be.
Okay. All right. So I've got a very good roll here at an 11.
Oh, okay.
And I think I'm probably a +2 babysitting. Is that?
That seems reasonable. Yeah, seems pretty reasonable. So I'm going to call that a success. So despite the challenges that Claudia faces, the evening goes like surprisingly smoothly. Everybody watches a movie together and has a good time. Yeah. You know, at first, like the first 10 minutes, it looks really hairy, but the kids they settle down. Everybody enjoys the movie. Everybody has a nice dinner, off to bed. And by the time the parents come home, everybody is sleeping safe and sound.
And Christy never knows that I've broken literally one of the only rules of the club, which is if there are more than three kids, you should get a second.
Yeah. So not only that, but because you've completed two babysitting jobs at once, you can earn 2 money as a result.
So I completed Tanner's job.
Mm-hmm. No, sir.
All right. I'm going to take 2 money.
Wait, so my job's off the book then?
It's off the book, off the table. Now,
Jesus.
Just as a rules thing, you know, it now because you're in the house, Jack, if Christy were also in the house, you would now be able to call her, right? From the phone
and ask her a question.
Yeah, but
Christy, her last name is Goblin's Bane.
Christie Goblin's Bane.
It's Lich Bane, because she's a paladin. Christie Lich Bane.
And my last name is Christie Bane.
Oh, shit. Claudia Christie Bane?
Yeah.
Duly noted. Okay, so that's going to
So I flip my token on the Braddock's house.
Yep, exactly. Because
he snaked my job.
All right, and then Tanner, you're gonna roll again. It's now your turn.
I got a 5 and a 6. It's 11.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4, and I found myself at the phone booth at the public library.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to call the Braddock's house. Oh, wait, Jack, okay. You were supposed to ask me questions.
No, he couldn't because you weren't
no,
in front
I can't
because
you're not. This is before cell right. phones.
Pre-cell phone world.
I can only ask you questions if one of us is at a payphone or at a house. All right,
well, I'm at a payphone and you're at a house.
All right, give me a call. Let's see if I'm going to fucking... I'm feeling pretty good. I just made
$2. Before I do anything at all, and I know your tricks, Dan, perception check.
Okay, great. Let's see it.
Smart.
11.
Wow, that's a pretty good roll. All right. Christie Witchbane Thomas approaches
Lich,
the phone booth.
Lichbane.
As Christie Lichbane Thomas approaches the phone booth at the public library, she sees across the parking lot a woman crying in front of an empty stroller.
I approach the woman.
So you hear she's in tears, visibly distraught. And as she sees you coming up, she's like, "Oh, please, please, you must help me. I hired a sitter from the babysitter's agency. but when I came home, my baby was gone. You have to help me."
Jesus, lady. You know they smoke cigarettes.
I know. I mean, I guess it doesn't surprise me.
How can I help?
Well, you can find her, obviously.
Can I make a phone call quick first?
Yeah, sure. Don't worry about it. I'm not too stressed about my literal child having gone missing.
Why I'm going to call a fellow sitter. So, by the way, ma'am, you're in good hands. I'm from the Babysitter's Club. I'm from the Babysitter's Club. We're upstanding. We're well-trained young women who know how to babysit. And we will find your, what did you say, daughter?
And we won't smoke cigarettes. Except Christy did one time smoke cigarettes and burned a man.
We smoke cloves sometimes. Only when we're drinking. I will find your daughter.
Okay, thank you. I heard that they might be near Stony Brook Elementary. You could look there.
Okay, that's pretty near to where I am.
So far from where I am.
Also, don't you know there's a serial killing car on the loose?
Yeah, have you heard about the car?
Get inside.
Well, everybody knows about that.
Yeah.
It's menacing the town.
I guess that's why you hired the babysitter's agency.
Ma'am?
That's right.
I assure you we're going to find your daughter. I'm going to go make a quick phone call to a colleague of mine who I think may be pretty close to the elementary school because I think she had a sitting job at the Braddock's. If you'll excuse me.
Okay, go for it.
I ring up Claudia Christie Bane.
Hello, Braddock House, Claudia Christie Bane speaking.
You must answer my questions.
Okay, who is
they
this?
Are all, it's Christie. They will all be yes or no questions. You must answer them honestly.
Okay.
And it pertains to who did the crime.
Which one? The baby theft or the serial killing at the sex museum?
Murder stuff.
Okay.
And it pertains to why it happened.
Okay.
No, it pertains to where it happened.
Okay. And I know this stuff.
What's the best approach here? Golly. How do I trip Jack up? Is it an adjective that exists on the card or is it something you made up? Sorry, isn't it an adjective that exists on the card? Okay, so it's not made up.
Yeah, no, that's your question.
No, but if you answer yes, I get to
keep
going.
You only get one question.
No,
Dan,
read the fucking rules.
Dan, how many questions
does he
get?
If it's a yes, he gets to keep going.
Okay, all right, yes.
I know you well enough. Is it one of the following? Obnoxious, sloppy, clumsy, or pushy?
This is where it happened or who did it? I'm not going
to
answer that.
You have to
answer the question.
Neither of your two are obnoxious, sloppy.
That's all I have to say. Your questions are over.
Clumsy or pushy.
We're in a fight, Christy. Now I already told you no, and now I'm hanging up. And I have bad experiences with phantom phone callers, and
I know
that's weird to call me
right
at night.
I'm sorry. Hey, you know what?
Do you want to tell me about the missing baby? before I leave?
Claudia, I should tell you. Yeah. I met a woman here. She might be a ghost. I'm not sure. her baby was kidnapped.
Okay.
And she thinks she's at the elementary school, which is right by the Braddock's house. So if you want to swing down there and check it out, get some clues, that would be great.
Yeah. Can I get your permission to leave like 7 sleeping babies in this house while I go do
if
that?
If they're sleeping, it's fine.
As president? Okay.
How much trouble can they get into when they're sleeping?
None.
Right.
Okay. All right. It's my turn.
It is your turn. All right. So you're going to roll your dice.
Okay.
Or move.
So I've got a 6 and a BSC.
Ah, okay. So you may spend 1 money to call a meeting of the Babysitter's Club.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to Stony Brook Elementary.
That's stupid of you, what you just did.
Because with my... why?
Because you could have called me to a BSC meeting and gotten clues out of me.
But then we both have to go to Claudia's house.
So?
Well, I've done what I've done. Fine. I went to Stony Brook Elementary.
No backsies. All right. Yeah. So as Claudia Christie Bain approaches Stony Brook Elementary, she notices that in the backfield, you know, like in the baseball diamond,
softball field.
Yeah, softball field. There seems to be like a wooden picket fence that's been kind of like of like these stakes that are kind of like shoved in the ground in this like kind of defensive fortification. In the middle, there's like a large bonfire.
Did they burn the baby?
I don't know. Maybe he can make a perception check.
Fucking morbid, Dan.
You see these like small kind of humanoids that seem to be holding these like spears and like bows and arrows kind of like running around inside, like a whole tribe of them.
Okay.
Jack, you idiot. You should have called me to Claudia so you can I can back you up.
Well, I...
You're so dumb.
Didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
I'll never break up the party.
We are where we are.
I'm going to roll perception.
Okay.
So it's 8, and then I think my perception is maybe just 0.
An 8. Okay. So, like, you can kind of, I mean, it's, you know, it's a clear sunny day. You're able to see okay. It's pretty good. So you see that, like, they appear to be small, like, goblin-like creatures. You know, these, like, small, feral little humanoids wearing, like, loincloths and, like, leather armor. And they're also weirdly wearing, they're all wearing Babysitter's Agency t-shirts.
Oh, shit.
And then you can see that
Smoking?
Yes, they are all smoking cigarettes, every single one of them. Some of them are smoking 2 at once. It's weird.
Wow.
And then you notice that off in the corner, there's like a little wooden cage that's been made out of sticks. And there's like a small infant just like kind of sitting up against the bars of the cage.
Is it smoking?
Yes. They gave the baby a cigarette. Can you believe it?
That's cool.
That is kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. let's see. Do I have any like bardic spells I could cast?
You tell me, man. It's kind of your call, your character. I'd say yes.
Can I do a song spell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to try to look one up here.
Minor illusion.
What do you want to accomplish with your spell?
I want to ensorcel them to like make them like Pied Piper them.
Oh, hell
to make
yeah.
them like all just like try to run away.
Absolutely. Yeah. Give me a okay. roll with a, I'd say with a nice bonus, right? I feel like Claudia. Okay.
Do minor illusion and make yourself look like a sexy goblin.
I've already done that.
Yeah.
Just like as a baseline.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You do that before leaving the house.
So I rolled a 6.
That's
and I play my panpipes and I play my little panpipes.
Yeah, that's not
it's a beautiful sound.
That's not great.
It's not great.
No. Okay. Claudia plays her panpipes and dances around like a sexy female goblin. You definitely attract the attention of the Babysitter's Agency goblins, but the ensorceling does not seem to work. They seem to still be very much in possession of their faculties and very much interested in you. Several of them start like breaking away from the camp and kind of like heading over in your direction, brandishing their spears at you.
Okay.
So we're going to call your turn here, Jack, and we're going to go to Tanner now.
Okay. I'm going to roll my die. I got 8. Here's what I want to do, Dan, and you can tell me if this
Come to
is...
me. Come to me.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm at the public library. I'm going to move 1, 2, 3 pieces southward until I'm like right next to the baseball diamond.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Uh-huh.
Can I do a athletics roll to try to hop the fence?
Absolutely. No doubt.
Oh, that's
great,
beautiful.
Great idea.
I got a 6.
I think we've determined that 6 is not a terribly good roll. Here's what I'll say, Tanner. Christy is able to hop the fence, but sort of as she's like kind of, you know, that like awkward part of hopping the fence where you're kind of like perched on the top of the fence and you got to kind of figure out your landing. You kind of topple over onto the other side of the fence.
Okay. And I make a loud, I know what's going on. I feel, realize I'm not going to make the leap. So I make a loud sound.
Yeah. You land in like a pile. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, and then a whole bunch of the other, we'll say about half the goblins are.
I'm wearing heavy armor too, so it's like, it's loud.
Yeah, a lot of clanging and banging. Even the baby looks over and takes like a long drag of its cigarette, like kind of taking it in. And we'll say the other half of the goblins, half of them had kind of gone after Claudia, and then the other half are now kind of heading in your direction.
Okay.
We'll call your turn there, Tanner, because of the tumble, and we'll go back to Jack and Claudia. So, Claudia, you've got, we'll call them five goblins heading in your direction.
Okay. Can I roll, I guess, to see if I... Because that's how I start a turn, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you can do your move action now, or you can do an action, and then you can do your move afterwards. It's up to you.
Oh, can I cast another spell and try to ensorcel them again?
Yeah.
Or is that not a great idea?
No, that's fine. I would. Give it another shot.
Yeah. I'm going to take another shot.
Area of effect spells?
I think I just want to Piper these guys. Okay. And I've got an 11 this time.
All right. So that one works like a charm. So you start playing your song and the goblins just kind of like, you know, they sort of slow down and they kind of listen and they're interested. And you can see that the music just starts like overtaking them. You know what I mean? They start kind of humming and tapping their feet. And all of a sudden they're just like, they're just totally under your spell. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you this, Jack. Yeah. I'm surprised to see on this map that Brenner Field is apparently like a wheat field.
Yeah.
In the books, it's sort of described as like a public park, like a place for kids play. But on this map, it's definitely just like a wheat field. And you could probably draw them into there.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to just kind of try to Piper them over into there.
And then light it on fire. Once,
and I will light it on fire with a bonus action, and I'll have Christy collect the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That all of that happens. So the goblins head across the street from Stony Brook Elementary. They're kind of frolicking around in the wheat field, which just it goes up in flames like surprisingly fast. It's like soaked in kerosene or something, and you just hear screams. These like ungodly, torturous screams ringing out from these goblins as they burned it. You can smell their like burning goblin flesh, kind of wafting through the air. And you head over to the baby, who's kind of now coughing. The baby, she's like coughing it as she like takes another drag of her cigarette. as you pull her out of the makeshift goblin cage.
Baby, where did these people come from? These goblins.
Goo goo gaga, the baby says.
Okay.
Famously.
Do I speak baby?
Unable to talk.
do you speak baby?
Do either of our characters speak baby?
I don't think mine does.
I don't think so. I don't have baby. I have common.
Yeah, babies don't speak common.
I speak common and infernal.
All right, well, let's just, I guess, give this baby back to the lady. Maybe we can call, let's just take the baby and, because I have a lot of jobs I need to do and I have a lot of questions I need to ask. Let's take the baby and next time we get to a phone, I'll use a phone action to call the parent.
Okay.
Or someone will.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So now we're going to go back to Christy Lichbane. Who has five goblins approaching her.
I got an 8.
Okay. Do you want to move or do you want to take some kind of an action against the goblins?
I'm going to move.
Okay.
I'm going to flee.
Okay. 8's pretty good. I'm going to say with an 8, you know, you move wherever you want to, Tanner, and we'll just say you kind of leave the goblins in your dust.
I'm moving to house number 9, the Johannessons.
Okay.
You're in house number 9.
Yeah.
Oh, this is another double job.
So you get two. It's a double job.
I'm sitting all the kids.
Yeah, from the Johansson, and we'll say from the Masterses.
Yeah,
good. Okay, so the double jobs are tough, Tanner. I want to see a babysitting role.
Okay, I got BSC and 6.
Oh, call a meeting, dude.
I don't have any cash.
Do you have to have cash to call the meeting? Yes.
Does a BSC and a 6 qualify as winning the encounter?
I'm going to say yes. The BSC is like that's like a very good kind of bonus roll. So that really adds to your 6. So yeah. So Tanner, you successfully navigate through a very difficult evening of babysitting. But all ends well.
Do I get
You earn 2
with Charlotte. What's going on with Charlotte Johansson? Is she okay? 'Cause she's normally such an easy charge.
It's not Charlotte. She's fine. It's the Mastresses.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
They're
okay.
They have joined a cult.
Okay.
Cult of the Dragon. Yeah. And I've slain them.
Yep.
So now, can I call a BSC meeting since I got the BSC role?
Yeah. What the hell? Why not?
Yeah. I call a BSC meeting.
All right.
Okay. So do we all port to Claudia's house?
Yeah. Everybody just kind of magically like dimension doors over to Claudia's house.
Jack, I will spend $1.
Hang on. Wait. Hang on. Whoa. What the hell? Just a second ago, I was looking at this burning field of goblins, and now I'm back in my house, and Christy, you're here?
Claudia,
what happened?
Christy Bane, tis I. Christy Lich Bane.
Oh, it's you.
You and I are frenemies,
mm-hmm.
but I've called you here today to ask you important questions about the car murders.
Okay.
I'm going to spend $1.
Okay.
To pry
That's for dues,
answers
right?
out of
That's
you.
For pizza parties later.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me ask you a little bit about some of the adjectives around who did it.
Okay.
Was it someone weird, suspicious, nervous, or dreamy?
Yes.
And was it someone weird or suspicious?
No.
Okay, good.
Wait, no.
Really narrowing down here.
Wait. No.
Okay. You've said no several times now. Is it no?
It's no entirely.
To nervous and to weird and suspicious.
Yeah, your first question was bad.
But it's someone nervous or dreamy. Okay.
Well, I'm not telling you that.
Well, you already have told me that.
I'll tell you why. And here's the thing that, like, you can't get any clues from my mistakes here. A girl in the 90s filled out my card.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so I was answering based on what she has said, but it's not. I know that that's not what it is.
Okay.
So the
Nervous
answer to your first question,
still on the table, though.
The answer to your first question is no.
Okay.
It wasn't someone weird or suspicious.
Do you have any cash you want to spend to ask me questions?
Okay. So I spend $1. Christy Lichbane.
Yeah.
Answer me this.
Yeah.
If you know something about who's doing these serial killings, why won't you just say?
It's not a yes or no question. And what I know is what was involved and why it happened. I have no idea.
But exactly. But can I just reason with you? Can I use persuasion?
I'm like a genie. I'm only capable of answering yes or no questions.
Dan, can I roll persuasion?
Yeah. I mean, you're a bard. You're extremely persuasive. I'd say absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so I have like a +3 persuasion, right?
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Okay, so it's a 10 +3, so it's a 13 persuasion. And let me just make this speech here. Christy!
Yeah.
Listen to me. I know that we're at odds. I know we've been fighting. But there's a serial killing car on the loose. It's been murdering people and it's possessed by a ghost. If you know something, anything about this, even if you don't know who it is or how it happened, if you know something about why or what was involved, you're honor bound to tell me for the good of Stony Brook. Just say one of the adjectives.
Claudia, I consider myself a honorable woman, a chivalrous woman, a pious woman, and I will tell you everything I know,
yeah.
But I am only capable of answering yes or no questions.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you about this person has crossed off everything on my list. Okay, on what why it happened. You know why murders and they're ongoing, by the way. So
yeah.
does one of the things related to why it happened begin with an S?
No.
Okay. So I guess this meeting is called
this council has ended.
This council has ended. Let's go our separate ways.
Yes, I think that's for the best.
All right. Do you guys want to call this lady? I'm going to say, we'll retcon it. We'll say that this lady gave you her phone number, and you can call her and let her know that.
Oh, sure. I spoke to her, so I should probably call her, right? On my
Yeah, give her a call.
As a bonus action? I call the lady.
Okay.
Tell her about what I did to the goblins.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Ring.
Hello?
Ma'am.
Hello?
It's Christy Lichbane. We met at the parking lot. At the public library.
Oh, that's right. Your phone call was more important than rescuing my daughter. I remember you.
We sort of saved your baby. Here's what happened. She was kidnapped by goblins, and she's in the baseball diamond. And a colleague of mine chased off five of the goblins, and the other five goblins are still there.
And the baby smokes now.
And the baby smokes now. So now you know where it is, which is all I promised, if you recall.
Wait, you left my baby at the softball diamond?
We had to. We had a babysitter's club meeting. We had to. And I'm so sorry for that. I would have loved to help your baby, but we had a babysitter's club meeting. So, guess what? The babysitter's club agency, they don't even hold meetings. So yeah. At least we're more responsible.
They don't even have like a club notebook or anything.
Right.
Mm.
And they bring their boyfriends over to
your
house.
But now you know where your baby is, so you can go fight the goblins and reclaim it.
And we ask of you a boon in return.
Yes.
And we say, ask Christy, say we ask of you a boon in return.
We ask for a boon.
Well, you know, as it turns out, I happen to know a little bit about the murders that have been taking place. So if you want to ask me one, each of you wants to ask me one for one piece of information, I'll just give it to you. I will give you one adjective that you're looking for.
I'll start because it's kind of my mission. In regards of who did it, was it someone nervous, dreamy, lonely, or mischievous?
I'll just tell you that it was someone lonely.
Okay, perfect. Case closed.
And in terms of why it happened, what is one of the reasons why it happened?
Well, like all crimes of passion, it ultimately came down to love.
Okay. And it was, I should have known because it was a sex museum.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one kind of wrote itself. You know?
Yeah. Thank you for your time, ma'am. Good luck with saving the baby. Goblins are, I would say, lightly challenging.
They're easily ensorcelled.
Okay. Bring a sword.
Good. Yeah. Great. I'll grab my sword and my sorcery and we'll be good to go.
Okay. Jack's turn.
Good. All right, Jack, you're up.
So I've rolled a 9. I'm going to go to Logan's. So Logan's dangerous. That's a snake in the grass. But I'm at Logan's house.
Okay.
And I'm babysitting.
No, absolutely no way that's only 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You're almost there, but you can't quite get there.
I'm almost at Logan's house.
Okay. Good.
That's my turn? That's my turn.
Tanner.
Yep.
I got an 11. I'm popping right across the street to the Perkins's.
Okay.
And I'm sitting.
All right. You sit. It's relatively straightforward. It's a single job. So we don't even need to do a roll. You complete the task, you earn a money, and you cannot unfortunately call
Claudia.
Yeah. Okay.
Because she is not in front of a phone.
Can I do a perception check in the Perkins's?
Yes, you can. Okay.
I got a BSC and a 2.
I feel like the BSCs are good.
Is BSC advantage? Do I re-roll that one?
Yeah, sure. That sounds good.
I got a 6. I got an 8.
Okay. So if you notice on the map behind the Hobart's house, there's what appears to be a farm.
Yeah. There's a lot of farms on the map.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because you've been to this part of town before, but you notice that there seems to be a building, like an office looking building in what was once farmland that you, it's weird. You'd never noticed that before.
I approach the building.
So you approach the building and it seems, it's weird. The building, it's clearly an office building. And the sign over the door reads Scholastic.
Oh shit.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to equip my longbow.
Okay.
And I'm going to use, Holy Flame. It's a cantrip, I know.
Okay.
On the arrowhead. And I'm going to shoot it into one of the windows of the Scholastic building.
Okay. That's an easy task for a experienced paladin like you. So yeah, you shoot it through, it smashes through the glass. And yeah, you notice that inside, through the window that you're now able to see through, there's you're really hard to make out because you're still pretty far away, but it almost looks like an inky blackness inside the building.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Call on your friend, for God's sake. Let's put this aside. Tanner, let's put this... Christy, let's put this aside, our beef here.
Dan, what are my options for calling a BSC meeting?
I believe if you roll one BSC on the die, you may call one. And if you roll two, then you must call one.
All right. I'm going to roll to see if I can call a BSC meeting.
Okay.
Okay, I got a 3 and a BSC.
Yes! So
you may.
All right, I'm recalling Jack to Claudia's house.
Okay.
Sorry, Claudia.
Yep.
Claudia. Okay.
Claudia.
Christy Lichbane.
I have discovered a great evil.
In Stony Brook?
I think it's the ancient ones that they speak of in the holy text known as the Leviathan.
Okay.
It's just north of the Hobart's house, which is right across the street. I need you to join me and to take him on, to take it on.
Do you claim that we must put aside our ancient differences?
Only if you're willing to change your name.
From Claudia Christy Bane?
Yeah.
What about Mallory Bane?
What about the Leviathan Bane?
That's great!
Yeah.
Okay, I accept. And now we will join forces and we'll be stronger than ever before.
Yes. Okay. Great. That's my turn.
Okay. And so the action is all happening in the Hobart's house?
It's just it's that field behind it.
That's right. It's that kind of field. Yeah, that farmland looking field behind the Hobart's house.
All right. So I'll roll.
Okay.
I've got a 10.
Oh, while you're in your meeting, you can ask each other questions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Christy, called you to the meeting, so I'll be asking the questions.
Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Did it happen somewhere crowded, smoky, cool, revolting, or smelly?
Yes.
Okay. Did it happen somewhere crowded, smoky, or cool?
No.
Okay, perfect.
Can I ask you some questions?
Yeah, please.
I still need
to discover another who. There's two.
Yeah, there's two for each.
Is the reason it happened because of hate, jealousy, excitement, or nosiness?
Yes.
Okay. Is the reason it happened because of hate or jealousy?
No.
Okay. We're really honing in here.
Honing in.
Okay.
All right. I think it is Jack's turn.
Okay. So I rolled a 10.
Oh, yeah. So 10's good. So 10 can bring you to this classic building if you so choose.
I choose to enter. And I equip everything. Like, I equip my magics. I have my shield out. And I guess, like, I probably have a staff.
No, you're a bard. You have, like, a lyre.
Okay, fine. I start strumming my lyre. And it's a ominous chord. It's like a B diminished.
As you enter in, you're playing your music, and you enter in the front doors of the Scholastic office building. And as you open the door, as you notice, the whole building is just, in the interior, is just all filled with this inky, murky blackness that you can barely see through. And in deep inside the blackness, you can see a shape, like a large looming shape. It's unnaturally large. It feels like, you know, the building's only like 4 or 5 stories tall, but this shape looms like it's 500 feet above you, like that your sense of space has been distorted in this blackness. And you can hard to make out the shape, but it almost looks like this large semi-humanoid tentacly creature. It fills you with a sense of cosmic horror and dread.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Do you think I could try to intimidate?
A fucking Leviathan?
No, that's crazy. I want to play a song. I want to play a song to win it over to my side.
Okay, that's great.
So I'm playing a song of friendship, basically. That like, not that I think I'm going to make friends with it, but like that it'll make it. Calm it will down. Think that we that I am a friendly figure.
Right.
Good. I would like to hear your song of friendship.
Okay. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here it goes. Okay. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week,
and
your month,
Christy,
or even your year, but I'll be there for you. When this rain starts to pour,
I'll be there for you.
Like I've been there before.
Yeah.
And
do I say it again?
That's fine.
So you sing this song, and there's this long kind of pregnant pause that's like the last notes of your song kind of reverberate through the interior of this classic building. And you wait for what feels like an interminably long time. You're not even sure how long it is. Your sense of time is lost in this blackness. But then deep in the inner recesses of your mind, in your soul, and in parts of yourself that you didn't even know existed, you you have this sense, this feeling that you can't escape, that this creature, this Leviathan, is also there for you.
Yes!
And you can ask it one question. And by specifically, what I mean is you can ask it for one adjective, one element of the mystery.
Leviathan, what was involved here?
So you think, you don't even need to say it, you just think that thought. And you hear kind of like maybe like 5 feet away or so inside the blackness, this kind of like slurping, like slushing kind of gross sound.
Sexy. Like,
it's not sexy, Tanner.
You know, and you hear just like a tink, tink, tink on the floor. And then out of the blackness rolls a pearl. And you pick up the pearl. And the pearl doesn't say anything on it, but as you touch it, you understand that what was involved was an expensive and unusual computer sports car.
Jesus, you got both? Okay.
Yes. Well, this is like the boss level, man, and I did a very good job with my bardic song.
You did do a good job.
Okay. So now I know.
I helped. Can I ask a question of the Leviathan?
Are you in this classic building?
No.
Well, then.
Is my turn over?
Yeah, we're going to end Jack's turn there.
Okay, Tanner, this is it.
I got a 8.
That'll get you there.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm at Claudia's house?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm just east of the Hobart's house, right?
Okay, sure, yep.
In the dot just east of the Hobart's house. And what I do is I look at Jack. Sorry, mm-hmm. I look at Claudia across the short distance between us, and I say, sorry, brother, but I've got... bigger concerns, and I turn and I hightail it to the marshal's house.
Oh shit.
To do a babysitting job.
All right,
I thought you were gonna save the baby.
Hell no, I'm finishing my fucking job. I'm here to sit the marshals.
Oh, you do need to finish one more job before you can technically actually guess.
Oh shit,
the thing.
Oh, so now we got some strategy going on.
Okay. So you sit the marshals, and you get a dollar?
Can I psychically say something to the Leviathan while I'm still by the Hobart's house?
You are a...
Can I roll to do it? Maybe it's like a...
Yeah, you're a paladin. You have some... You
charisma?
Know, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I think my charisma is probably like +1 at best.
Paladin is a charisma class, I believe, so I think you probably at least have a +2.
While I'm passing Jack and the Leviathan... I use my charisma to psychically send a message to Leviathan.
Okay. Let's see the roll.
6.
Yeah, it's just you can't get a signal, you know? You can't reach out. Your psychic message goes nowhere.
So I move on and I go to the marshal's house to do a sitting job.
Okay.
Okay. Roll that sitting.
Well, I thought we didn't have to roll.
Yeah, and only roll for the double jobs. This is a single job. So Tanner's good. He earns his money, and he is conveniently located in front of a telephone.
And I use the telephone to communicate with the Leviathan.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So as Claudia is like in this kind of like ether realm, you know, inside this building with this Leviathan, all of a sudden you're like looking at this pearl that it secreted, and then all of a sudden the phone rings. Like in the background. and then you hear the phone, like the phone picks up mid ring and you just hear this. Hello.
I do my best to put on like a resonant godly voice. And what I say is, Leviathan, it is me, your god, Bane de Batz, first of her name. Last hope for humankind, last of her kind, the magnificent mother of clocks, priestess, primarch, princess, Princeton's own, saint, sanctified, soul skinner, stormwalker, stormborn, the hand that shakes, our angel, the lost grandmother, backstage babysitter, the tender shepherd, ocean princess, little night owl, laughing mirror, snow mommy, fast-fingered swordman, ghost eyes, the condor, the squall, the space mountain, frugal master, great ear and perfect hands, cool at the store, cool on the body. She is the young sophisticate, mystery mime, say betie, shiprock pinnacle, royal toes, matron of Stony Brook, liberation front, Anne the knife Martin.
Hi.
man.
I command you as your god to hold the aberration against free will that is before you, Claudia Christie Bane, with all your might. Do not let her escape Scholastic headquarters.
You're not going to ask her a question about the last adjective?
Nope.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's see a persuasion check.
From me?
Yeah, from the paladin.
I got a 4 and a BSC.
we decided
to roll your BSC
again.
We're going
to re-roll the BSC. Is that what we've been doing?
I got a 4 and a 5.
So that's a 9. And I think we decided that your charisma was a 2. So that's an 11. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
There's a long pause. And then you just, in like, you don't hear, no, there's no response. But what you hear, Tanner, or what you hear, Christy, in the background is you hear, and Claudia, you hear this in person, is the doors to the front of the building just slam shut. Bang! And then the line goes dead on Christy's end.
Perfect.
Okay.
Jack.
Okay. So I'm going to roll, and my goal here is I want to merge and become one with the Leviathan to become like an all-seeing entity.
Is that possible?
Depends on how good the roll is.
Okay.
Tell me how are you? Is this like a magical thing? Is it through a song? Like what is your path?
Yeah,
there?
So my understanding of harmony in song is so strong that it has led me to understand like the harmonics of the universe and the harmonics of every individual being. So if I can like strum my note in the perfect harmony to the note of another entity, which in this case would be the Leviathan, like we would fuse and become one all-powerful being with
is your psyche capable of that? Is it expansive enough?
I think that's what the role is to find out.
Yeah.
This is a high-risk, high-reward endeavor. I should be clear about that.
I've got a BSC and a 3.
let's see what that BSC turns into.
How many BSCs are on this fucking dice?
So the BSC is a 6, and I'm going to use one of my 2 double initiatives that you gave me at the beginning to roll the other dice.
Yep. Okay. That's good.
Sorry. One of my 2 double inspirations to roll the other dice again. And that's a 3. And then I'm going to use my 2nd inspiration to roll it again. And it's a BSC.
Hey, roll it again.
So a 6 and a
roll it again.
Okay. 2. So that's an 8. And then it's plus my artistic ability. My artistic ability, which is a 3.
Sleight of hand? No.
I buy
my
3.
Performance.
I buy 3. So what does that get you to total?
11.
Okay. So Claudia Christie Bane is played. Can I hear the song?
Yeah, it's Fade Into You by Mazzy Star.
Oh, yeah. Come on and fade into you, babe. And you fade into me.
I don't think that's the song.
That's right, right?
Fade into you.
Strange you never knew. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
And so, yeah, to your point, like you feel your body as you start to sing, you sort of feel your body kind of like vibrating in this weird way, almost like undulating. Do you know what I mean? And it's almost like the whole world is kind of swaying back and forth to your rhythm. And you notice that the Leviathan also is kind of begins to sway back and forth to the rhythm. And it kind of it goes on for this interminably long time. And the Leviathan and your body just start to like come closer and closer together. And then you realize like your body just almost like becomes absorbed in to the this mass of the Leviathan, this large tentacled creature. Slowly you kind of lose track of your own senses. Like you lose, like you start, like you can't feel your extremities anymore. Then you really can't feel anything anymore. Your sight starts to blur and then all of it, like you become keenly aware
as you kind of fully merge with the body of the Leviathan, that your senses are heightened. You feel like you can see all of Stony Brook, even through the brick walls of the Scholastic Building. You can hear every conversation that every family is having in the entire town. You can even see through the walls of the Marshall's house. Christy just like sitting on the couch, like counting her money after her babysitting. You feel at one with the universe and with the Leviathan. You feel all powerful, all knowing, all seeing. But the one thing you
let
don't
me ask
know,
you a question.
Yeah,
Dan.
Yes, Tanner.
Is the Leviathan undead?
No, it is an aberration.
Okay,
sorry, dude.
Sorry.
So the one thing I don't know, so I know what happened. I know that it was expensive and unusual, and I know part of why it happened, which is that it was because of love.
Yeah.
And I know there's, but there's one other piece of why it happened that I don't know. And that's what that's what both of us are longing for. That's what both of our souls are longing
for. You hunger for it. You desire, you've needed nothing more in your life. You need to know why it happened. Like you need to breathe air.
Sort of sounds like your turn is over though.
It does sound that way. I agree.
Okay.
So over to Christy Lichbane.
I'm gonna roll.
And her mortal soul.
And an 8. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go back to the spot just east of the Hobart's house.
Okay.
Here's what I'd like to do, Dan.
Okay.
I'm a paladin. I'm connected to God. I would like to call upon the power of God and M. Martin to infuse me with her Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And sort of Megazord out.
Yeah, I like it.
Is that possible?
It is. With a good enough roll, it certainly is. All things are possible.
What's that, a religion roll?
Sure.
I've got to be +2 in religion, right? Or +3?
Yep. +3.
Paladin. Oh, I got a 9. +3. 12.
That's pretty good. Yeah. So describe what happens, Tanner. Describe your physical transformation.
I'm standing in the middle of the street just outside the Hobart's house. And what I do is I drop to one knee. I'm in full plate armor. Giant shield, giant sword. I drop to one knee, I drop the sword, I drop the shield, and I say, "And on Martin, I call upon you in this time of need to beat back the forces of darkness, to save Stony Brook against not just the Leviathan, but against the dancing ghost inside of the computer sports bar. Lend me your power, lend me your strength, lend me your size. Make me the ultimate warrior. Come to me, become me, fill me with your radiant light."
So as Christy does this, basically, you said you're wearing plate armor, right? So you Christy's plate armor in the back between her shoulder blades starts to kind of like bulge and burst. You know what I mean? And then like basically these two like feathered wings like burst from the back of your plate armor and like extend out behind you in you know, like massive 10-foot wingspan. What kind of weapon are you holding?
Broadsword.
Yeah, so two-handed broadsword. So your two-handed broadsword also like alights with like holy flame, right? And it like lights from the hilt all the way to the tip. And your armor like goes from being this like kind of dull, you know, iron to this like gleaming like silver embossed with gold. And you grow in size as this is happening, and you become almost the size of the Scholastic Building, the 5-story tall brick Scholastic Building. And you stand in front of it, and you're in all of your holy splendor. And as you do, the brick walls of the Scholastic Building start to like crack and crumble, and the walls like burst. And coming out of the wall is this giant Leviathan, Cthulhu looking like tentacle. Elder monster with the face of Claudia, Christy Bane, Kishi, and Jack. What does Leviathan Claudia do?
First, an unholy screech.
Okay.
That's like all of the dogs in the town are barking, and all of the people in the town like have nightmares. And then I turn to the angel and Christy.
Do you feel good about being a inky black darkness against an angel?
I've never felt better. Silence thyself and know my name. It has been written that I am Christy Bane, and I never saw how I could do it because I've always been in your shadow. You were the president of the Babysitters Club, and I have always been consigned to being the second fiddle, the vice president. But now I see how I can earn the name Christy Bane. It is by joining my power with something more powerful. Prepare to be obliterated. And then I cast Crown of Madness.
Good. Let's see a roll on that.
It's a 5.
Okay. So Claudia, the Leviathan, attempts to use her eldritch magic to impose her will on Christy. Christy, can you oppose that with your own religion check?
I got an 8.
Tell me what you do. Yeah. So what do you do in response, Tanner?
I take my mighty flaming broadsword and I bring it down right on I see the beam of crackling dark energy coming towards my head, and I cut it in half.
Yep. Good.
As it approaches me.
And the Leviathan, Claudia, lets out this like unholy screech. And you know, as you sever the beam of energy, you're not just severing the beam of energy, you're severing basically her lifeline to her eldritch magic. And you see like slowly like this unholy screech lets out, and the Leviathan Claudia begins shrinking and shrinking down, and you can see that it's like tentacles and it's like, you know, abstract, horrific visage begins to kind of slowly morph back into that of a typical girl. And she shrinks down onto the sidewalk only to be back to become just regular old Claudia, back to her mortal form.
And then I'm still a god.
Yes, you are.
And is it my turn?
It is your turn. And as a result, the goddess smiles on you for defeating her enemy. And she grants you the final piece of information that you're looking for.
This is perfect because it falls perfectly in line with what I was going to do.
What were you going to do?
I'm going to strike at Claudia. I got an 8.
Yeah.
So I mean,
you're a giant god and she's a little kid. That works for me.
I fling my hand out towards Claudia, right? But as I'm just about to like snap her in half, I stop and I pick her up and I cradle her in my hand and I say, brother, only together can we defeat the scourge of the Ghost Dancer computer sports car plaguing Stony Brook. I need your power. I need your might. Together we can find this creature, understand who he is, what was involved, why it happened, and where it happened. And then we can finally make peace in this world. And what I do is I pick him up high above the ground and I spike him down into the inky blackness again.
Okay.
Okay.
Assuming that he'll once again regain the powers of the Leviathan.
Yes, and that is indeed what happens. Claudia regains the powers of the Leviathan, and Christy learns the final piece of information that she needed to know, which is what, Tanner?
Well, the two final pieces of information I need to know is where it happened and who did it.
And so you know that your goddess smiles on you, and she confirms in your mind that it happened at the revolting, smelly field trip to the Museum of Sex, and it happened because of curious temptation, love, and excitement.
And who did it was...
Oh, who did it? Who did it is a lonely new ghost dancer.
Brother.
Brother.
What we've discovered is that someone who is lonely and new did this crime.
Yeah.
It was expensive and unusual.
Mm-hmm.
They were filled with love and excitement because they were going to the sex movie. And that essentially equates to horniness.
Yep.
And it happened somewhere smelly and revolting.
Sex museum.
Yeah.
Yep.
With our powers combined,
we can destroy it.
Yeah. And no, do we know where the ghost car is, Dan?
Well, it's funny because as it happens, bearing down Rosedale Drive is an expensive and unusual computer sports car. And you can see no one is driving. That seems to be driving itself in a spooky and unusual way. And it's driving straight at the both of you.
Can we join our forces of darkness and light together to create one like holy, unholy
like
beam?
Super weapon?
Yeah.
Megazord?
And destroy ourselves in the process, possibly?
You can do it. You can.
Okay.
You can indeed.
I lift my holy sword up into the sky.
I lift one of my tentacles.
And the sun beams down into it. And as that happens, his tentacle wraps around the sword and it becomes like almost impossible to see. this combination of light and darkness that it's impossible to perceive. And we bear that blade down together with both our arms in perfect harmony onto the ghost car.
All right, let me get a double roll.
Okay. Okay, I got double BSCs.
That's
perfect.
I think
that's a crit. That's a crit.
Yeah, that's a crit. I got a BSC and a 2.
We'll just take the crit.
Yeah, let's take the crit.
So as you, so you do that and you smash this like sword of light and darkness into the expensive and unusual computer sports car, which smashes into a thousand pieces in the middle of Rosedale Road.
I assume Stony Brook is obliterated.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a bomb goes off. Like there's just like there's a blast crater. Like it like a cloud goes up into the air. It's visible for miles around. And as the smoke clears, you can see the kind of rubble of the car, and there's this like kind of wispy spirit that kind of like emerges from it in this like vaguely humanoid form that kind of like looks at you and then just like dissipates out into the air.
Is it a lot like the end of Lawnmower Man, just to kind of get a picture of it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it like it. It's like a little like it.
To tie it to a cultural touchstone.
Yeah. It's totally different from that though also, like in another way.
In that moment, I take Christy's hand.
And I take Claudia's hand.
And I turn around and I say, Christy, we've got one thing to do now that we have healed our friendship and healed the world.
Anything for you, Claudia.
Will you join me in my final babysitting job at the Corman's house?
What's left of it? Yes, I'd be honored to.
And so we babysit the Cormans, and I assume we do a pretty good job.
You do a pretty good job, yeah. They answer the door and are totally nonplussed by the giant, like, angel god and eldritch horror. And they're just like, oh, okay, cool, that's great. We'll be back by 10. But,
yeah. Oh, they're probably going to Maurice.
Oh, yeah, Chez Maurice. Yeah.
It's hard to get a reservation.
That's the fancy restaurant in Stony Brook.
That's exactly what happened. They like kind of look you up and down, you know, and then like the dad has like the little reservation confirmation on his phone, and he just kind of looks at it,
and
he looks at you, and he looks at his phone, and he's like, okay. "All right, don't let him watch too much TV."
Did we win?
Did we win?
You've won. You've won. That's it. That's the game. Stony Brook is safe. Well, Stony Brook is safe from the car.
Yeah.
It's not so much safe from the giant explosion that destroyed most of town. Arguably a bigger problem than a couple of murders.
That's not our fault.
What a wild game this is. It's so much more complex than I expected.
Yeah.
Of a 1992 children's game.
It seemed to work out pretty
okay. But I loved it. I had a blast.
It was fun.
Milton Bradley, man. They put so much effort into it. They really could have just done another Candyland ripoff.
Said some pretty complex world building and magic systems.
It's a good system.
Sorry I betrayed you, Jack, but I hope
it's fine.
You realize now it was in service of the greater good.
It was in service of a greater good. I think like what we've learned, and Dan, you can speak to this, whether this is true or not, or if I've misunderstood it, is like you actually can't have one without the other.
Yeah, that's really it. It's like really until the two halves merge, you didn't have a whole. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't really solve like that. It's like the house divided against itself can't stand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really needed to come together in the end to be able to overcome the great evil.
And so, I needed to draw out the darkness within inside of you, Jack.
Well, and I needed to help you find your light side.
Yeah, and I thank you for that. I honor you for that.
That's really beautiful. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today.
Yeah, sadly.
I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank you, Dan, very much for helping us through this journey and joining us. I would like to thank the Baby Nation very much for bearing with us. This is the end of the Babysitters Club.
Yeah, period. Dan, is there anywhere people can find you on the internet that you want to...
It's probably not.
Can people hire you to be their DM?
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, people can just enjoy the podcast.
I would like to remind everybody, please, to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have a whole other show, for the love of God. It's the only way we support our families. Please do that. It's only $5 a month. Buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. And please join our Facebook group and rate and review our show on iTunes. All that remains for me to say is that this week we read a book. It was called The BSC Mystery Board Game. We could not have done it without the help of our faithful Dungeon Master, Dan Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dungeon Master.
This week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name, as always, is Tanner Daniel Greenring.
And I'm Dan Shannon.
Don't have a middle name? Too good for a middle name?
Joseph. Daniel Joseph Shannon.
Okay. Well, this is something that I'm just learning, and I've known you for
a few years longer than me.
As we've established a long ass time.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time. And do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's. Remember the Tripman. Take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way. Berries to blood. There is no God, and we are his prophets. I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a damn good babysitter. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
And this is dad talk for a second. The other day, so Miles has food allergies and often has what I would describe as fairly interesting BMs.
Yep.
So he and his classmates at school have learned the word diarrhea.
Okay.
And Jamie was on the phone talking to someone about diaries. And I was feeding lunch, Miles dinner. And he just kept yelling at me, diarrhea, diarrhea, diarrhea. Because that's what he thought we were all talking about.
That sounds surprisingly like a lot of our conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really taken after Papa.
Your kids are probably too young for Dog Man. Is that right? Like the Dog Man books?
Excuse me? Like,
it's like a comic book. It's by the guy who wrote Captain Underpants, if that means anything to you. It's like, anyway, there's a joke in one of the books where one of the characters like will say, like, what do you get when you cross like a chicken with a turkey? What do you get when you cross a chicken with a turkey?
It's like an abomination of some kind.
Diarrhea.
And then all through the book, it's just like a series of just like, what do you get when like, you know, Batman, like, I don't know, puts on Superman's cape? Diarrhea.
I imagine Sadie
loves it just constantly. Yeah. And she'll get me out of the blue too. She'll be like, hey dad, like what do you get if you like, you know, a bird, whatever. And I'm like, what? Get diarrhea.
Diarrhea, Jesus, you fall for it every time.
Every time.
Thank you, Dan, for participating in Dad.
This has been Dad Talk.
I'm mostly here for the Dad Talk. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.